This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Escaping in disguise. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, July 6th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Authorities in Illinois say the man accused of killing seven people at a parade on Monday eluded police at the scene by dressing as a woman.
The price of oil is falling from recent highs. West Texas Intermediate, the U.S. benchmark, closed below $100 a barrel for the first time since May.
New Labor Department data show that red states have recovered faster economically than blue ones, at least when it comes to jobs.
And starting this month, medical debt you've paid off should no longer appear on your credit report, likely boosting your credit score.
The FICO scoring model doesn't care if it's a $25 medical collection, a copay somebody missed. So you had these medical debts that were coming onto people's credit reports, and then like destroying the rest of their lives because your credit score is either going to cost or save you money every single month.
Paul Oster at Better Qualified on why your overall credit rating could suddenly show a noticeable improvement due to credit bureau changes. Authorities in Illinois say the man accused of killing multiple people at a 4th of July parade in a Chicago suburb had planned the attack for weeks and dressed as a woman to blend with the crowd before being apprehended. 21-year-old Bobby Cremo stands charged with seven counts of first-degree murder for the mass shooting in Highland Park on Monday. State's attorney for Lake County, Eric Reinhart.
We anticipate dozens of more charges centering around each of the victims. Psychological victims, physical victims, attempt murder charges, aggravated discharge charges, aggravated battery charges.
Police say the gunman climbed onto the roof of a building using a fire escape ladder before firing more than 70 rounds into the crowd. More than three dozen people were injured. Community members reported unusual behavior from Mr. Cremo in recent days. One Saturday morning in April, Mr. Cremo visited the Central Avenue Synagogue, not far from the scene of the parade shooting. Congregant Marty Blumenthal told the Wall Street Journal he offered Mr. Cremo a prayer book and a yarmulke and now believes he was casing the place. Lake County Coroner Jennifer Bannock has identified six of the victims, ranging in age from 35 to 88, and said a seventh person had died at a hospital outside of Lake County. Among the victims from Highland Park were Kevin and Irina McCarthy, both in their mid-30s, parents to a two-year-old son. A GoFundMe page created for the toddler named Aiden had already raised more than $800,000 in the hours after it was created. The page says he'll be cared for by family. Miles Zaremski attended the parade.
I observed people with blood on their legs, their hands, and unfortunately, I believe I observed three females lifeless on the ground in pools of blood.
Also lost was 63-year-old Jacqueline Sundheim, a longtime staff member of North Shore Congregation Israel, a synagogue in nearby Glencoe. The other victims, 64-year-old Catherine Goldstein and 88-year-old Stephen Strauss. 78-year-old Nicholas Toledo of Morelos, Mexico, was also killed. No information was available on the seventh victim. Turns out the gunman had two previous encounters with law enforcement. An April 2019 call reporting that he had attempted suicide, and another in September of that year regarding alleged threats to kill his family. Police at the second incident seized a collection of 16 knives, a dagger, and a sword, though no arrest was made as authorities at the time lacked probable cause. Chris Cavelli with the Lake County Sheriff's Office says there were no complaints signed by any of the victims.
There was no law enforcement action to be taken. it was a mental health issue handled by those professionals.
The disclosures nonetheless raised questions about the adequacy of the state's red flag laws. Illinois State Police say the agency had received a report from Highland Park Police after the threats, declaring Mr. Cremo a clear and present danger. Several months later, at age 19, Mr. Cremo applied for his first firearm owner's identification card under sponsorship from his father. State police say since no action had ever been sought, there was insufficient basis to deny the application. Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Federal Reserve officials have indicated they accept the risks of causing a recession because they're determined to prevent something they view as worse, and that's a change in consumer psychology that could sustain high inflation. Here to explain the psychology of inflation is Nick Timiraos, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Nick, what did you look at?
Well, there is an important piece of consumer psychology that economists and central bankers believe plays a really important role in determining future inflation. And that is that they believe that consumers' expectations of prices in the future can drive actual inflation in the future. If you think prices are going to be higher a year from now with a high level of confidence, then you're more likely to buy now, which in turn could send prices up now. If you if you're a landlord and you think rents will be higher in a year, prices will be higher in a year, you will demand more rent now. And so that can actually kick off a self-sustaining period of higher inflation. In other words, that sort of expectations of higher inflation can be self-fulfilling. And so where the Fed and other central banks around the world are right now is, you know, the last 25 years, these expectations of inflation from households and businesses have been low and stable. And they've referred to that as an anchor, that inflation expectations are anchored. But the worry is, what if they're not? What if we had a period of low and stable inflation because there just weren't a whole lot of shocks hitting the economy? And so what we thought was an anchor was, as one economist, John Cochrane, put it, what if that was just a sail and we didn't have a lot of wind? And so that's why Fed officials right now are willing to risk much more aggressive monetary steps that increase the likelihood of a recession, because they're worried about something that they think could be an even bigger problem, which is that inflation expectations just continue to go higher and higher, feeding feeding forces that lead to higher inflation.
Wow. Is that the distorted economic behavior that you reference? Is that what that is?
Well, yeah. I mean, distorted economic behavior is what happens when you have high inflation. People can't plan. They don't have a good sense for what prices are going to be in a year. So they're going to move. They're going to make, rational decisions, but they're going to buy now instead of, well, I don't really need that right now, and I think prices will be stable a year or two from now, so I won't buy that right now. That's what we mean by it can distort behavior. So when people tell me, gee, you know, the Fed is raising rates a lot, why are they so gung-ho here? Why are they willing to risk a recession? And, you know, yes, recessions are painful. Millions of people lose their jobs. But for the Fed, there's a bigger worry. They're haunted by something that happened in the 1970s, where you had a period of high inflation fueled by higher inflation expectations. And the lesson was that, you know, you needed an even bigger recession down the road to take care of it. So if the Fed had to choose between, you know, a recession now versus a recession, an even worse one later, they might choose a recession now, even though, to be clear, the leadership of the Fed says that they're not at all trying to put the economy into a recession. But I do think it's fair to say they're taking greater risks here, because if they get into that situation, you know, they'd rather err on the side of doing too much and making sure that inflation expectations stay low and stable, rather than not doing enough and finding out, oh, geez, now we have to chase inflation that's just going higher and higher.
Wow. We're speaking with Nick Timiraos, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. His story is called Why Consumers' Inflation Psychology is Stoking Anxiety at the Fed. So you said that the Fed is nervous for several reasons. So separate from the ones you mentioned, what else are they looking at?
Well, they're worried that the relief that everybody had thought would come from supply chains improving isn't getting here. And in fact, there are some signs things are getting worse because of the war in Ukraine. You've seen big surges in energy and commodity prices. Now, those have come off the boil in the last couple of weeks, which is a positive development. But, you know, the worry here is that if you get hit with a multiplicity of shocks from energy, from supply chains, that, you know, the sort of things that central banks tend to look through, they tend to look through one-time increases in prices. Then that is what a oil price shock would be. It's a one-time increase in the price of oil. It'll fade through the system. So central banking textbooks say you shouldn't react to that.
Nice, Nick. Nick Timiraos, economics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
We're learning more about some of the victims of the mass shooting at a July 4th parade in Highland Park, Illinois. Among them were Arena and Kevin McCarthy, the parents of a two-year-old boy who was found alive and alone in the aftermath. A GoFundMe page for the toddler has already raised more than $1 million. Others killed include Jackie Sundheim, who taught at a local synagogue, and Nicholas Toledo, who was in from Mexico visiting his kids and grandkids. The suspected gunman in the shooting, Robert Cremo III, has been charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder.
Number two.
The shooting at the parade in Highland Park was just one instance in a rash of July 4th gun violence. Nearly every state has reported a shooting from the holiday weekend, with at least 220 people dead nationwide. In Minneapolis, 8 people were wounded after a gunman opened fire at a Riverside park. Mayor Jacob Frey is fed up.
The kind of violence, the recklessness, and in some cases idiotic behavior that we saw shouldn't be tolerated. And let me be clear, it won't be tolerated.
Other shootings took place after a concert in Kansas City, Missouri, at a cookout in Indianapolis, and during a block party in Gary, Indiana.
Number three.
A special grand jury in Georgia wants to talk to allies of former President Donald Trump. Subpoenas have been issued to Rudy Giuliani, Lindsey Graham, and several of the Trump campaign's former legal advisors. The special grand jury in Fulton County wants to compel testimony as it investigates possible interference in Georgia's 2020 elections. The governor of the last remaining eastern province, partly under Ukraine's control, is urging his 350,000 residents to flee Russia's escalating attacks. The calls come as Russian President Vladimir Putin turns his sights on capturing the Donetsk region days after claiming victory in the neighboring Luhansk region. And it's a historic chance to own something prehistoric. Sotheby's says the fossilized skeleton of a T-Rex relative that roamed the Earth 76 million years ago will be auctioned in New York later this month. The Gorgosaurus was an apex carnivore from the late Cretaceous period. The skeleton measures nearly 10 feet tall and 22 feet long. Sotheby's says all the other Gorgosaurus skeletons are in museums, so this is the only chance, the only specimen available for private ownership.
Man, an apex carnivore.
In your bedroom.
10 feet tall, 22 feet long.
And you can own it.
You better run. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here with savings on top-rated business computers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. Starting this month, your overall credit rating could get much better. This is the month the three largest credit bureaus overhaul how medical debts affect your credit. Here to explain what's happening is Paul Oster, credit expert and president of Better Qualified, a credit repair firm in New Jersey. Paul, what's new?
So this is a really big thing for consumers because in the past, you had the FICO scoring model, which was lessening the weight of medical debt towards the scores. But now the bureaus themselves have agreed to A, take off any medical debt that's been paid. So all paid medical collections should be coming off of consumers' credit reports. That's about 70% of the medical debt that's on consumer reports. First part of next year, the bureaus have now also agreed not to even report medical debt that's less than $500.
Wow.
On top of that, it is going from 6 months to a year. Consumers have, they now have 12 months instead of 6 months to pay medical collections before they get put on people's credit reports. And that's, again, that's another really big deal, because those are the things. The FICO scoring model doesn't care if it's a $25 medical collection, a copay somebody missed. You know, you're fighting with the insurance company. And 6 months is a blink of an eye. So you had these medical debts that were coming onto people's credit reports and then like destroying the rest of their lives, because your credit score is either going to cost or save you money every single month.
Yeah. All right. So this is significant. Doesn't necessarily make life any easier financially directly, but I mean, you would know this more than me, but isn't medical debt like the main reason that most people declare bankruptcy?
Yeah, yeah. It's just amazing that this is the system that we're stuck with here, you know, in the United States, you know, powerhouse country, leader of the world. And we can't help our consumers, you know, people that get cancer. Now you have long COVID affecting people. And medical debt is the number one reason that people have to declare bankruptcy. And to me, that's a big travesty. But at least this is a step in the right direction on the back end of things, when people are fighting with insurance companies and medical billing companies and doctors and hospitals all the time while being sick, by the way. So,
yeah.
Again, what happens is those medical collections then lead to other problems. And when I say problems, it's just more money. Their scores go down. Interest rates go up. They can't buy a home. They're stuck in an apartment. They have to rent, all because of something that happened to their health.
We're speaking with Paul Auster. He is the president of Better Qualified, which is a credit repair firm, and we're talking about how your credit rating could suddenly get much better. All right, so if you are somebody who is going to benefit from this now, what should you do, if anything?
So, again, you have to be very proactive here. You know, the bureaus have now come out and made this bold statement. They love to do, you know, the PR about it. But the reality is that a lot of these debts will stay on reports unless the consumer takes a proactive step.
Thanks, Paul. Paul Auster, president of Better Qualified. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Want to eat healthier, but every supplement you've ever tried seems like the better it is for you, the worse it tastes? Then you have to try AG1 from Athletic Greens. I started taking AG1 because I wanted more energy and better gut health. What I didn't expect, the taste is better than any supplement I've ever had. I drink it, like it says, before anything else when I wake up. I guzzle those 8 to 10 ounces before my coffee and start my day knowing I've already gotten the recommended daily intake of all the good fruits and veggies. There's definitely a mental boost knowing you've started the day off on the right foot. I tackle the day now with more confidence and energy. AG1, by the way, is not only lifestyle friendly, it's cheaper than getting all the different supplements yourself. Try AG1. I love this product. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/Gordon. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Gordon to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/Gordon.
We don't take sides. We deliver the information you need to start your day. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for spending time with us, and welcome into Wednesday, July 6. Gordon Deal with Dom Savino, who's filling in for Jennifer Koschenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: the accused gunman in the Illinois parade shooting is charged with 7 counts of first-degree murder. The price of oil closed below $100 a barrel for the first time since May. Former NFL wide receiver Demaryius Thomas has been posthumously diagnosed with CTE. Rock legend Carlos Santana hospitalized for heat exhaustion during a concert in Michigan last night. The World Cup this fall will use artificial intelligence to help with offside calls. And the boys who recalled movie scenes to save their drowning dad. That story in about 20 minutes. In what can sometimes feel like an increasingly dangerous world, what can law enforcement, government, and citizens further do to protect themselves? In-depth analysis from Bill Stanton, security expert, former cop, and author of a book called Prepared, Not Scared. Bill, how do you read these recent mass shootings like Monday in Highland Park, Illinois?
Well, it's the knee-jerk reaction where you see talking heads, sports stars, speaking about safety and security that know very little about safety and security. You know, when they're saying something must be done about guns. By the time you are talking about doing something about guns, it's already too late. In my opinion, there are so many laws on the books, you know, that need to be enforced, you know, to say, oh, the, you know, guns are bad. Yeah, well, in, they're bad in bad hands. You know, that would be equivalent to saying, you know, let's outlaw cars because we have people that drive in text, we have reckless drivers, and people that drive drunk. So what do we do about that? We try to make more awareness, more education, and if someone's a repeat offender of drunk driving, you take their license away. And that's a similar approach, in my opinion, what needs to be done with these people that are clearly imbalanced. And what we're seeing is a change in our culture. Guns have always been around. What hasn't been around is this culture of the internet and how people essentially lose their mind in the cyber world. And when they're not getting enough satisfaction in the cyber world, they carry it over to the real world, in my opinion.
Okay, so you've heard this also. I'll play devil's advocate here. What do you say when people say, okay, these mass shootings don't happen in other first world countries? This is unique to the U.S.
Well, I'll answer your question with a question. Tell me a country, name me a country that is unique as the United States of America, where people come from all countries into this country, right? And name me another country that has the diverse cultures, the tolerance and intolerances of the United States. You don't. I'll answer it for you. You don't.
Yeah.
So, you know, if someone is determined to break the law, right? If someone's determined to take a car and drive into a crowded group of people, do you outlaw the car? No. You know, you try to stop it before it ever happens. Indicators. Now, people are saying, well, there were indicators on the internet. Well, what is someone expected to do? You know, arrest that person? If someone is determined to take lives, is that imbalanced? There is unfortunately very little we could do except empower ourselves to see it before it happens and take action.
Change gears for just a second. I know you're not on the beat anymore, but like your brothers in the NYPD, are they comfortable with concealed carry?
Well, okay. So I'll speak for myself and my brothers and sisters in blue that I know. You know, you got a good guy with a gun. I got no problem with that because that good guy may be there to help me one day, to back me up. You know, what I got a problem with, what they have a problem with, is the bad guy with the gun. If you have a legal right to carry a gun, you are not my problem.
Finish up, if you would. Just how about the rest of us who don't carry a gun? What are we supposed to do in all this?
Well, okay. There are various things. Again, forget about plugging my book, the term prepared, not scared. Don't be a sheep. Don't keep your head in your not-so-smartphone. It's called situational awareness. Have your head on a swivel. You know, good habits are hard to break, just like bad ones. Put yourself, do different scenarios. You're with your family. God forbid there was something to happen. Like, look down, like, you know how we drive? Some of us drive, they don't look past their headlights.
Yeah.
Good drivers look several car lengths down the road. Take that mindset into your everyday world. Look figuratively down the road and what potential there is. If there's a shortcut in the middle of the night to go down the dark alley that may save you 10 minutes as opposed to walking down well-lit areas, forgo the back alley. Use your common sense and don't think it can never happen to you. What I say to folks is this: for everyone that was a victim, when they woke up that morning, they never thought it would happen to them.
Yeah.
Use your brain, use your common sense, and more times than not, you'll be prepared, not scared.
Thanks, Bill. Bill Stanton, security expert, former cop, and again, author of a book called Prepared, Not Scared.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Glad you could be with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It is time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, it's been some time since men regularly wore suits to the movies, so you might have been wondering why so many teens have been showing up so dressed up to the new Minions movie. As usual, it started with a hashtag with Gentle Minions trending on TikTok and Instagram since last week. As part of the trend, packs of teens went to go see Minions: The Rise of Gru over the weekend, decked out in suits, certainly helping to make the movie the biggest 4th of July opening of all time. Unfortunately, it hasn't been all fun and games, with some theaters in the UK banning the Gentle Minions from theaters, saying the teens have been unruly, throwing things at the screen and around the theater. One theater even stopped showing the movie altogether.
Wow.
I saw this firsthand. So we went to the movies. I went with my two kids. We went to see a different movie, but all throughout the complex were these teen boys in suits running around getting ready to go see the Minions movie.
How about that?
And my kids, you know, weren't even interested to go see the Minions movie. They thought, you know, that's kind of kid stuff.
Yeah.
We're above that now. And now they're kind of interested in to go. And they actually talked about maybe going to find going into the closet and finding their suits and going to go do this. So it's a bizarre phenomenon.
And you didn't see some of this behavior. You
No.
This is an English thing, apparently.
Right. And to be clear, I haven't heard about this happening around the U.S. necessarily, or anybody closing theaters because of it.
It's interesting because sometimes we think that clothing determines behavior, right?
Right.
If you tend to dress nicely, you think differently as an adult, or you're like, your thought process is good for an interview or a day at work, or maybe you're wearing a uniform at school when you're younger, right?
Here the suits are making people rowdier somehow.
Yes, this is
not
a thing.
The opposite effect. Because they're not used to wearing them, right? It's something
I guess
kids are not used to wearing all the time. And there are some who might say that if your 4th of July involved placing a bet on a hot dog eating contest, you may need to reevaluate where your life is headed. It also means that you didn't lose any money, even if you bet the wrong side. This after major sports books like FanDuel and DraftKings offered refunds to people who bet that hot dog eating king Joey Chestnut would eat more than 74.5 during the annual 4th of July contest on Coney Island. The reason for the refund: Chestnut was a little distracted after a protester stormed the stage and bumped the 15-time champ while he was slamming down dogs. An angry Chestnut could then be seen putting the protester in a chokehold, then tossing them to the ground before security stepped in. And while the disturbance, which lasted less than 5 seconds, likely didn't prevent Chestnut from topping 75 dogs eaten, since he finished with only 63, it was enough of an irregularity to force the sports books to refund bettors' money.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, he was in a hurry.
Oh, yeah.
Well, he got that guy in a chokehold and immediately threw him to the ground.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, let me hold on to him till authorities
get
here.
Wait till security gets here.
No, I've got more hot dogs to eat,
I
must dispatch with this person as soon as possible.
I mean, at this point, you know, July 4th is, you know, Joey Chestnut Day, or at least, you know, he's one of the co-sponsors of July 4th at this point.
Yeah.
This is his day. It's not going to be ruined by somebody else.
And there were more protesters on the stage. I happened to look at that video more closely. There were others who came on, too.
Yeah, I think security's probably going to be tightened for next year's contest.
Yeah. And it was funny. The one guy that Joey Chestnut grabbed was dressed in black, right? There was a commenter on the tweet that was put up saying, "Darth Vader goes down." Remind me not to make Joey Chestnut mad.
Dell's Black Friday in July sale is here. Power productivity with a tech refresh, now with up to 45% off top-rated laptops like the XPS, along with our special deals on business desktops with Intel Core processors. Get big savings on the latest servers, storage, monitors, and more with free shipping and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Upgrade today by calling 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Families ready to go on vacation are running into a problem. They can't find anyone to watch their dogs. More than 23 million American households got a pet during the pandemic, but the number of pet boarding facilities in the U.S. has remained relatively flat, meaning that higher demand and a lack of available staff has made finding a sitter hard. And the Wall Street Journal says asking friends and family to watch a pet this summer is tough, too, since they are also heading out on the road or back to the office. Pet sitters are also raising their rates. Nightly and weekly boarding prices have gone up 10% to 15% on average compared with before the pandemic. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Once again, here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The prosecution is moving forward with charges against the suspected gunman in the mass shooting at the July 4th parade in Highland Park, Illinois. Robert Cremo III will face 7 counts of first-degree murder, charges that would bring a mandatory life sentence if convicted. Here's Chris Cavelli from the Lake County Sheriff's Office.
Investigators have been really tirelessly working since Cremo was taken into custody, trying to determine motive. At this point, there is no definitive motive that he had.
Police say the suspect may have been plotting the attacks for weeks, even wearing women's clothing to blend in after the shooting.
Number two.
Some relief at the pump for Americans as gas prices are coming down from last month's record highs. The nationwide average for a gallon has dropped to $4.77, according to AAA, 9 cents less than last week. On Fox, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg insisted oil companies are to blame for the still sky-high prices, not the Biden administration.
Why are they sitting on these opportunities to produce right now? It's because this environment where they're extremely profitable and the rest of us are getting killed is actually pretty favorable for their bottom line.
Meanwhile, crude oil prices are also down, closing below $100 a barrel for the first time since May.
Number three.
Sweden and Finland have each moved one step closer to joining NATO. The organization says it's wrapped up negotiations to add the two countries, which are ending decades of neutrality in the wake of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Now, NATO's 30 member countries will all have to vote in favor of the move in order to add Sweden and Finland to the alliance. An analysis of new Labor Department data shows Republican-leading states have recovered faster economically than Democrat-leading ones since the depths of the COVID pandemic. Over the last 2 years, the share of U.S. jobs located in red states has grown by more than 0.5%, with workers moving from the coasts to the middle of the country and Florida. And a sense of relief among music fans nationwide. Rock musician Carlos Santana is reportedly doing well after passing out on stage while performing in Michigan last night. A rep for Santana says the Grammy winner was overcome by heat exhaustion and dehydration during the outdoor show. Footage shared to social media shows Santana giving concertgoers a thumbs up after he was taken off stage in a stretcher and rushed to a local hospital.
Thanks. That's going to be scary to watch.
I can't even imagine.
Yeah, he's not a spring chicken, so you know, watching that, you probably think the worst, right? Something like that. Thank you, Dom.
How would you love a chance to save some money on car insurance? GEICO can help. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. It's easy. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote and get started seeing how much you could save.
Thanks for being with us. What a story of bravery and focus by a couple of kids. Brad Hassig was swimming with his 10-year-old twin sons and their 11-year-old neighbor when he suddenly started to drown. Mr. Hassig, who's 46, was doing underwater breathing exercises in his backyard pool in Mountain Brook, Alabama, while the kids played. The Washington Post says he'd go underwater, hold his breath for about a minute, kind of a calming technique. This time, though, he didn't reemerge. Christian and his twin brother Bryden and their neighbor collectively pulled Mr. Hassig up by his shoulders to the pool steps. Their father's phone was locked, of course. None of the boys had phones of their own, so Christian sprinted to the street to find help. Simultaneously, Bryden started performing CPR, recalling how it was done from the movies he watched, like Hook and The Sandlot. Mr. Hassig's ailments were caused by the extended time he spent without oxygen and is expected to make a full recovery. That'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.